Are you ready? Welcome to Radio Grognard King Size, the OSR podcast with more stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hiya, folks. Old Man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. It's a nice day. Well, if you're going to do random encounters inside, first you got to look outside. I'll explain that after this. All right. Random encounters. Now, if you're looking in a book, if you're looking in, say, an older, OSR D&D book, but I mean, even think the current edition has them. Usually they split it up into dungeon and wilderness, inside and outside. And they are arranged a little differently on each, depending on if you're dealing with the dungeon or the wilderness, because, well, in the dungeon, it's more of a confined space. So you have, this is level one creatures, level two creatures, and they get, more deadly as you go along. As compared to the wilderness random encounters, those are broken up into usually terrain. What kind of, if it's forest or desert or snow or mountains or whatever. And it'll break up and it'll show the monsters, the type of monsters that'll be around in those areas. Well, I know a lot of GMs just, okay, they're in the third level of the dungeon, so I'll put that out. Okay, fine. Well, I'm thinking you should look outside first. Where is your dungeon located? Is it in the mountains? Is it in the desert? Where is it? And this is going to affect the random encounters you see on the dungeon table. Because if you're dealing with, say, a desert dungeon, and you have things around like giant scorpions and snakes and things like that. All right, sure, you could, you're going to have the generic, In the dungeon type random encounters, you're not going to have, it's going to be more, like I said, generic. But look where the dungeon is, because that kind of thing on the outside is going to seep into the dungeon. Because, like, say you have a giant scorpions or, If it's rough desert, it'd be mountain lions, I guess, or something like that. But they would find their way into the dungeon, probably. Probably, depending on the thing. So if you look at a random encounter table, say, for around desert, and find out what's there, and they're going to the first level of the dungeon, if it's in the desert, and these creatures will find their way to into the dungeon. So I would look at the random encounter tables in the dungeon area, and I would look at the random encounters tables in the desert area, and it's like, okay, what can I modify in the random encounter tables in the dungeon from the wilderness? So I'd throw in maybe a giant scorpion or a king snake or something like that. I'm kind of blanking on what's in the desert. Things like that. Because it makes a little better verisimilitude, using them fancy words again, verisimilitude, because that would reflect where it is and it just make it feel like it belongs in that, in that environment. So that would make your world, of course, a little richer. So you want to do that kind of thing. And also, another thing is, the further down you go into the dungeon, the less you're going to see those terrain-type creatures in there. There may be exceptions, but on the whole, that's usually where it's going to go. You're going to get like maybe 50% of them are going to be from the wilderness table. And as you go down, it gets 40 to maybe you get down to like level 7. You're going to see different critters. than you are if you're on the first level. You know, you may see stuff like goblinoids or things like that more than you would on a wilderness table. As much as I am a proponent of doing your own random encounter tables, I do have an appreciation for encounter tables that come with the adventure you're running, if you're running a module, or the ones in the main rule book. They don't get used enough, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're good for if you're at a convention or some other place where they want you to run right away and you don't have time to make your own encounter tables, use those. But at the same time, it wouldn't take a few seconds to look at the terrain table for the wilderness encounter adventures and then extrapolate from there. I can do that at the table during the game if I got the reference in front of me. You know, I got the book or whatever. So I just like, you know, okay, roll a d20. Let's put a giant snake in that slot right there. And I'm going to use that. You can do that. You can choose creatures off that list. You do not have to roll for them. But if you roll something you don't think is appropriate, look at the wilderness table. Okay, what's around here? Oh, we're in the mountains. Okay, well, there's goats and rams and deer and all those other kind of owl bears and, you know, critters like that. You may find in the second or third level that there's an owl bear lair down there. They can get that far down. I wouldn't put them any further than the third level. But yeah, say I put like in the middle, if I had time and I, you know, it wasn't a time crunch, I would look at those and then pencil in like maybe owlbear in this role or this role and, you know, use that. See what I'm saying? You can make these your own. You just got to think a little bit, you know, a little bit outside of the area where you are, because terrain and those kind of things really help. You're doing random encounters. If you have a chance of, like, say, use the monster overhaul, which I recommend, there are all kinds of tables in there, and it can go by terrain, by spring, summer, winter, fall too. That has a lot to do with it. You know, you're going to have creatures that hibernate if it's in the cold climates. I mean, what if they're trekking through the first level of the dungeon, they run across a cave bear or a grizzly who decided to hole up for the winter in there in one of the rooms. So that's the kind of thing you got to think of. I'm so glad those charts are there, because I could have so much fun mixing and matching all that stuff as long as it's, like I said, as long as it's appropriate and story appropriate. If you got some special critters that are in there for the in the dungeon, use those. Use those, and it'd be a lot better. But like I said, look at the wilderness tables as opposed, you know, along with the dungeon tables. So that's kind of a good thing. Anyway, I got to go start my day. So if you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com, or drop me a voicemail on Anchor. We are monetized, so as little as 99 cents a month, you too can help support this program. I would thank you. For single donations, try my Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/oldmangrognard, or my PayPal tip jar, paypal.me/oldmangrognard. Let me thank these people who do give to me monthly. Juan Carlos Llewellyn, Gilbert Sars, and Benjamin Brodell. You guys are golden. Thanks. For other good podcasts, Dan Griggs, the Jung, Y-U-N-G, Jung Grognard podcast, Kevin at the Red Caps podcast, Daniel Norton's Bandits Keep podcast, Randy and Joe's Biggest Geekest podcast, Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries, and my friend Eric Tinkar's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You got questions? You got comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. Tune in next time when Radio Grognard King Size is on the air.